chapter 18. We're going to be in verse 35. 35 to 43. It says, as Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Now hearing the crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he called out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he came near, he questioned him, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately, say that with me, immediately. I love that. Immediately. He regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. Like I said, I want to talk to you on the question, what can I do for you? This is one of the many, many acts of mercy that we see by Jesus when while he was living here on this earth. The question is very personal and recorded here for our benefit. What is it that he is saying? What do you want me to do for you? What a great picture of Jesus when he was here on this earth. He was always looking for an opportunity to help suffering humanity. And if the church could just exhibit just a little bit of this passion, what a difference we can make in this world today. Three things come to mind. First off, it was personal. Notice here how Jesus' attention is focused just on this one individual. I'll be honest with you, I struggle focusing on one person. If there's a gnat that is around, I'm going to focus on the gnat sometimes. It's like, I'm not trying to be rude to the person that's talking to me. It is hard to keep my attention. I know it's because I wasn't whipped enough because my dad did. So I think it truly is ADD, you know? I mean, he gave it his best. He did. He really, oh boy, did he. I can't imagine what I'd be like if he didn't. Lord, have mercy. But he gave him his full attention. His whole mind, everything, his eyes were fixed on this one man. There's a crowd, and yet he was fixed on one man. See, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. When you get his attention, it doesn't matter if there's other people around that's got more money than you, or if there's more people around you that's got more influence than you. If you could just get his attention, he's got your attention just on you and nobody else. See, it didn't matter that the man was poor. Didn't matter that the man was blind. The only thing that matters is the man recognized who he was. He recognized who he was. Second thing here is Jesus was full of mercy. When he says, what can I do for you? Jesus is waiting right now, and he's saying the same question to a lot of us right now. What can I do for you? And you know what a lot of us do whenever Jesus says, what can I do for you? Well, I'm sick. You notice the man was specific about what it was he needed. Whenever you go to him, be specific. Don't just come to an altar and be like, my world, Jesus. Can you be specific? I need a financial miracle. You know, July 5th. At 8 a.m., they're coming and they're shutting off my electric unless you bring me a financial blessing that I'm going to be able to pay my electric bill. That's being specific. Bible says you have not because you ask not.
The man was specific in what it was he needed. He looked right at him and said, I need to regain my sight. Well, he might have been like, I don't know. He was blind. He could have. He may not have exactly known where Jesus was, but he knew he was around there somewhere. I didn't see. I can't see. Okay? But he was specific in what it is in his request. He didn't say, I need a financial miracle. I'm a blind man, and I need you to bless my finances. He looked at him and said, I need to see. I'm tired of being a beggar. I want to see. And he says, your faith has made you whole. What did Jesus do whenever to heal him of his blindness? What did he do? What did he do? Did anybody see anything that he did to him? He spoke it. All he said was, your faith did it for you, buddy. He didn't have, guess what? You do not have to have somebody lay hands on you. Your faith can make you whole. You need God to move in your finances? Your faith can make you whole. You need a touch in your body? Your faith can make you whole. We pray on Wednesdays. All those little prayer cards you guys write out. We pray here on Wednesday mornings. We're supposed to be praying with you. Not just for you, but with you. We come into agreement with you. Sometimes I wonder if we just fill out the cards and say, well, I hope Darlene prays good. And she does. But it's supposed to be with you. You're responsible as well. The blind man did not look at the other to another person. He did not holler for somebody. He didn't holler for somebody else sitting there beside him and say, hey, go get Jesus for me. He cried out himself. Your sight might be involved in you just asking for it for yourself. Anthony, you guys know Anthony. He's a shy kid until he's home. And he has diarrhea of the mouth. When he's around a bunch of people, the kid just... he's quiet. So he'll come up and he'll be like, Dad, can you go say something to them and see if I can do this with them? You walk your happy hind in over there. You ask yourself. If it's that important to you, you'll go do it. And he'll do one of two things. Well, it ain't that big of a deal. And he'll turn around and walk away. Or... if it's something that he really wants, he'll go get it. If you really want a financial miracle in your life, you'll go get it. If you really want a healing in your life, you'll get up and go get it. You're not concerned about what people may say around you. You're not concerned about what people may think of it if they see you going to an altar. Oh, what sin has he gotten himself into? Oh, somebody was a heathen. Please. That was me. I never would go to an altar. Never. I went up there, got saved. I ain't going to let anybody know that I still got issues. Guess what? I continue dealing with my issues over and over and over again because God forbid if people thought I had issues whenever I went to an altar. The blind man didn't care what people thought. They're telling him to be quiet. And he's, Son of David, look at me. Have mercy on me. When those grandbabies, Mike, are at the house and they want grandpa, do they sit there quietly and go, oh, I hope he looks at me. I hope he looks at me. Or they go, grandpa, right here. When my kids were little, though, I got a puppy at home. I don't know what I was thinking. He's a rotten turd, too. Oh, he's cute on pictures. He's a little tyrant when you're around him. Guess what he does when he wants your attention? He does not sit there in the middle of the floor going, come on, please play. Please play with me. Please play with me. No, that's not what that little tyrant does. He comes over and he bites my feet. He gets my attention. Well, first he'll come over and he'll put his, he's only this big. He's 5 pounds, okay? He's a big old blue heeler and probably other things mixed in there. He'll come over and he'll put his paws on the couch. And he'll look at you. And if you pay him no attention, that's not a problem. He knows you have feet. He'll get your attention. Everybody knows what puppy teeth feel like, right? Oh, yes. Bunch of little razor blades just going right down the toes. And he'll get your attention. Sometimes I just wish the church would be a little bit undignified in how they would get God's attention. Quit worrying about what's going on around them and just get in his face and say, I need you now. I need a miracle now. I ain't got time to wait. I need a miracle now. I don't care what people are thinking around me. I need a miracle. The blind man didn't care. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, shut up, boy. You're messing up the Messiah. Son of David, have mercy on me. I'm looking for somebody who's ready to be undignified. I'm looking for a church that's willing to be undignified in how they get God's attention. We're so primp and proper anymore, we don't know how to have church. Now, I'll admit, growing up sometimes, I wondered if it was God or if it was them. But the one thing I never denied, I always knew that they may sometimes not have been God, but I always knew they were trying to find God. And they didn't care what people thought about them around them. I wish we could find a few here in this church so we could care less what people think about us. I want to see this city on fire. Son of David, have mercy on me. Shut up. It's not your turn. I'm going to make it my turn. His focus was not on the blind man. His focus was just traveling along with people. His focus was not on the woman with the issue. His focus was getting to Jairus. That was his focus, was Jairus' child. Not her. I'm looking for somebody who's willing to ignore the crowd and ignore what people are saying and get God's focus on their home. Get God's focus on their city. Get God's focus on their finances. Get God's focus for their healing. Quit worrying about what people think about you. I don't know if you, come watch me, coach. I promise you, you know I'm saved after the end, but I don't know if you know I'm still dignified. I don't care if the parents really, really love me. I'm trying to get the best out of their kids so they can win. I try to be quiet in the beginning of the game. I do. Unless Anthony's on the mound and then I'm shooting my mouth off. Every time he throws a ball, you done? I'll come and get you, boy. But I'm not concerned about what people are thinking about me. Why are we so concerned about what the world thinks when the world ain't concerned about you? This is not your home. I'm just pinching a tent. That's it. This is not my home. My long-term focus is not this earth. My long-term focus is heaven and seeing Jesus. So if people think around here that I'm a little nuts, great. I'm not covering anything up about it. Number three, it was a powerful encounter. Consider the condition of this blind man. There was only one thing that he wanted, to receive his sight. And Jesus gave him what he asked for, his sight. And some would say, well, that happened 2,000 years ago. What does that have to do with me? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's still in the business of meeting people's needs. Psalms 105 says, the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. Psalms 103 and 11, far as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is the mercy toward them that fear him. Jesus still asks us today, what can I do for you? He asked the sick and the afflicted. He's asked the sinner. He's asked the saint. And he's asking the church and he's asking individuals. And he's asking you right now, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? Well, I don't want to bother God with my small problems. Well, guess what? He's concerned about the small ones, the mediums, and the big ones. You might as well go ahead and give them to him. He handles them a whole lot better than we do. Now, sometimes I try to give him my input. I think I have pretty good solutions. I'm not the brightest bulb in the box, but, you know, I do usually use pretty good common sense. Thank you for your enthusiasm, Scott. Thank you. That's right. I am still in the box. I'm still a bulb in there. It might be dimly, I mean, when you plug me in, it might be dim, but there'll be a small shadow somewhere. I don't even know where I was going to go now. Thanks, Scott. I try to give him my opinion, and I try to ask, you know, let him know. I'm always willing to help God out. I know nobody else here helps God, just me. I always let him know how, hey, here's a great way to fix my situation. You know, take this person out. There we go. Take Scott out in the name of Jesus right now. Remove that spirit. What does he do? He gives me two people like Scott then. I mean, he says, no, I want to teach you a lesson, boy. I don't want to be taught this lesson, God. Oh. I'm always willing to give him my opinion, and sometimes he lets me do it my way. And I find out that I'm not as smart as what I think I am. There are many things we need that we are incapable of doing for ourselves. Here are some of the things that we can do for ourselves. Okay? things that you can do for yourself. Number one, get educated and get in the Word. Get in the Word.
Well, I just don't know the Bible that well. Well, then learn to know it.
Get in it. Read.
Read.
Well, that's so elementary.
Exactly.
That's why they teach it to little children.
If you read your Bible and pray every day, then you'll grow, grow, grow.
We used to have a turtle. And we used to do that with the puppet skits when we'd sing that song for the children. And the puppet, the turtle's head would slowly start coming out of the shell. Then he was naked. So then he wanted to go back in his shell.
When he quit reading his Bible and he quit praying every day, and then you could no longer see the turtle at all. All he seen was a shell.
So you have a decision you have to make. You can read your Bible and pray every day. That's a great way to help yourself out.
Well, I just don't know what the Bible says about it. I don't know what the Bible says about this.
Then get in it and find it.
Have a prayer life. Now listen to me. This is not a prayer life. Father, I know that you are the healer. And Lord, right now I need a healing in my body. Thank you. And good night.
That's not a prayer life.
I pray every day, Lord, bless this meal that I'm about to partake of.
That's not a prayer life. This is a prayer life.
After you're done giving everything to God, then you do this. Whenever you want to speak, I'll be right here. And you don't say a word.
And undoubtedly, if you don't shut off that blasted cell phone, it's going to go off.
So, in advance, just letting you know, shut it off.
Shut it off. I know we live in a technology-driven world. I hate it. I do. God knows I hate it. I found out that I'm old.
I did. I found out that I turned on some music the other day for the boys. We're getting ready for the baseball game, and they went, "Is this the oldies?" I went,
"I will take you all out to the woods and bury you."
Hey, coach, we don't want to listen to the oldies.
Is this the oldies?
These songs came on whenever I was a kid.
They're not oldies.
How many of you have Sirius? Sirius satellite radio? Have you ever listened to Sirius? You go flipping through the stations. And I was flipping through, and there's the 80s station and the 90s station and the 70s. You know, then they got four different stations for country music. They got five different stations for Christian music, you know, and flipping through and there was a song that came on that whenever I was flipping through, and there was a song that came on that whenever I was a kid, I loved it. You know? I can't remember what it was now. And I stopped. And Anthony goes, "I've never heard this song before." I said, "Dude, this song is awesome. Man, I used to listen to this all the time whenever I was a kid." And then I looked over on the screen on my truck stereo, you know, it said classic. I went, "Oh, you foul spirit of you. I rebuke you, classic."
Hey, nothing I own is a classic. I can't be old enough.
I told my dad, I said, "Guess what? You're so old now, the clothes you wore are back in style."
Have a prayer life. Third thing you could do is be a worshiper. Now listen, not everybody is called to be up on the stage with a microphone. That does not mean that you are not a worshiper. Just means you don't have a microphone. Okay? And if I've had people on my worship team in years past who they could not sing if you put the tune in the bucket and hauled it for them. Okay? My grandma, she was a Methodist woman, and that woman, she couldn't sing. She didn't care. Oh, she was a worshiper, though. We pull in at her Methodist church on Sunday mornings whenever I'd go there to sing specials for them, and you could hear my grandma from outside. And you could hear, that's my first time tonight. And you're, oh, grandma's at it again. That's her favorite. We go down there when she had cancer whenever I was 16. She ended up finding out she had cancer, and she died about a year later or so. I was 17 years old. It was right before the start of my senior year. And she had passed away, and she was getting really bad, in really bad, really, really bad shape. And we went up to our church over in Massillon, and we had a little traveling sound system that we used to take with us when we go places. And we took it down to their house, and we set up. We had a big old picnic out at my grandma and grandpa's house, and we set up the speakers and the microphones, and we put on a little concert for grandma, okay? Now, this woman is stage 4 cancer. She can't hardly move. She's in so much pain. And that woman, whenever I started singing, I bowed on my knees and cried holy. She was a worshiper. She didn't care what people thought. She's the only one in that church that would raise her hands. She didn't care. We're singing at the cross. I'm worshiping. I'm singing Amazing Grace. I'm worshiping. She didn't care what people thought. We got too many people that are doing this whenever they go to worship. Is anybody else worshiping before I go and lift my hands? Well, before I clap, let me see if anybody else is clapping. Worshippers don't care. Worshippers don't care what's going on and where they're at. I was driving down to Dover. This was a few years ago. I had a CD in. I can't remember the guy's name. He's the real big black guy. This was before Eddie. This is before Eddie was big. I can't remember his name now. But at any rate, I'm driving down the road, and I'm listening to his song. And windows are down. I'm jamming. I'm having me a party. Next thing I know, I hear, and the person beside of me in the car is going. I don't know if they waited for the green light to go. I didn't care. It was me and Jesus in that truck. When they loaded Anthony up in that squad, I didn't care what people thought. I was getting in touch with Jesus. Fourth thing that you got to do, that you are capable of doing, is you can love people. Just love them. Love them right where they're at. Quit trying to be the Holy Ghost and clean them up first. Just love them where they are. What you cannot do for yourself. Unfortunately, we let God do these things, and we try to do these things. We got them backwards. You cannot do a thing for your spiritual condition is the fact that you cannot be saved on your own. You cannot save yourself. Come here every Saturday and go out on heaven train. If you do not give your life to Jesus, you're still going to split hell wide open. I don't care if you sing on the worship team every Sunday. I don't care how good you sing or how well you play or how much money you have. Your works cannot get you into heaven. Number two, you cannot cleanse yourself. Number three, you will never find real peace. Ever. Ever, never. Number four, and it goes right along with everything else, you cannot earn your way to heaven. We are utterly helpless. Only Jesus can do these things for us. And what seems impossible with man is possible with the Lord. Jesus is well able and perfectly willing to do these things for us, to meet every need that we ourselves are quite incapable of doing for ourselves. It's one thing to say we have a need and to be able to do something about it. The blind man could not open his own eyes and see. But yet, Jesus did not have to lay hands on him. All he needed, though, was faith in the one that could open his eyes. Jesus' desire was to heal the blind man. He took time to minister to him. And number three, he met his need. This makes Jesus unique. No human could do this. No government can do this. No religion can do this. No one in the whole universe could do this except for Jesus. The government is not going to fix your problems. I don't care if they raise minimum wage. They cannot fix your problems. I'm getting off my soapbox right there. I'm going to close with this. Third thing here is you must be willing to receive. It all depends on our willingness to receive. Jesus is waiting to forgive you. And he'll say this, thy sins are forgiven. He's waiting to cleanse you. In Mark 1:41, I will be thou clean. John 14:27 says he will give you peace. John 8:11 says go and sin no more. In Psalm 32:8, I will guide thee with my eyes. And lastly, he's going to bring comfort. When he says in Matthew 14:27, be not afraid. When you receive what the Lord wants to give you, you too will rejoice. Luke 18:41 says, he glorified God. He glorified him. He glorified him. Do you know who he is? Or do you just know of him? Or do you know him? Do you have an intimate relationship with him? I was sitting with a young man just a couple of weeks ago. And he was trying to tell me how much he knew God. And I told him, the only thing you know is here. You don't know anything here. Because when you know it here, you don't keep on making the same mistakes over and over and over again. I know what upsets my wife. Sometimes I figure out ways to do it over and over again. But I try not to. I'm not going to do something that's going to hurt her. Because I know her. When you truly know him, you're not going to do things that's going to upset him or hurt him. You have it here. Do you have it here? 18 inches. That's what's going to make the decision for a lot of us of heaven and hell. It's head knowledge and heart knowledge. Whenever they loaded up Anthony in the back of that ambulance, I'm going to be honest, I was fearful. But yet, I was not scared of him being gone, because I knew the one I served. Well, how could you worship in a time like that? How can you sing when the music fades and all is slipped away? And I simply come. How can you sing the heart of a worshiper when you see your son in the back of an ambulance? Because I know in whom I trust. I know him. I know him. I know the one that said, you do what I called you to do, and I will keep them in my covering. I know him. Do you know this one that they call Jesus, the Son of David? And can you cry out, have mercy on me? Stand with me.